Mahalo.
Yeah.
Any further comment?
Yes.
Yes, hale aloha.
Just wanted to mahalo everyone, especially Kalehua, for what was said. Clarify, number one, I by no means was suggesting that the council not receive a burial treatment plan from the church if that's what it thinks it wants to do. I have no say over that. But what I do, but having said that, I just wanted to make it clear that even if the church submits a burial treatment plan, that's nice, but hardly controlling, since the department accepted the burial treatment plan submitted by the descendants and the council acted on it, made a formal determination, invoked its authority under HRS and HAR. And let me be real crystal clear, as Kalehua was. You don't have to wait to consult with me or our family, because we already did that for purposes of burial treatment plan that we put together. And consistent with the OIBC's determination based on that plan, the request was preservation in place, and the determination was preservation in place. It's already been made. So fine, do a burial treatment plan, submit it for for review and discussion. Yes, I'm glad some of it matches up with our burial treatment plan, but the bottom line premise does not, right? They're asking for relocation. And then the last comment is, just by way of correction, I take no position on the building. I'm not against the building. I don't care about the building. The limit of my care is Mary Puna Panavea Adams and the ohana that was buried in our family plot. Whether reburying them in place somehow impacts the building, so be it. But my view, I take no position on it, except to say we would be more than happy, our family would be more than happy to help the church put that building somewhere else. It's not on Mary
Halealoha, are you cutting out?
Cutting out, hard to hear you. You're going in and out, Halealoha. Pauli'i Hina has taken a little break here. So, can you hear us? Hey, aloha, can you hear?
I believe his screen froze.
Yeah.
Still here.
Yeah. I guess he went out for a moment, and so has Hina. So do we have any other comments at this moment?
I'm still here.
Oh, sure, sure.
I have a comment. I hear what Hale Aloha is saying, and he's putting a lot of whatever on our action last month. I stand behind what we did last month, and I will continue to stand on it, and I will stand behind all the comments I've had made. But I still believe that there's always hope that the two sides can come together and resolve this so that everybody is satisfied. I agree with Kamuela, that's probably not likely, but let's try and play this thing out and try and come to a good resolution. Now, church, you know that the descendants do not want the building. So any burial council, any burial treatment plan that comes before us that says that that building is going to disrupt the replacement of the descendants of the Kapuna is not going to pass. So that's the bottom line. But you have to come together and work with the descendants and work out a solution that everybody can agree with without the building. Have I made myself kind of clear on that? I mean, let's not beat this to death. And I've asked for a timeline, and I hope that timeline doesn't go on for another 2-10 years. We got to resolve this. Mahalo.
I just wanted to kako'o what Councilman Chuck said, and thank you for speaking some clear directive to actions moving forward. And I also wanted to point out that we actually had a meeting with the church yesterday that they backed out of. They backed out of it just the night before. And so we again, in full transparency, in coming forward, giving our burial treatment plan, telling them what we want to do, telling them how we want to do it, being in communication, they've backed out of Ho'oponopono in meetings. You know, they went ahead and filed that appeal with SHPTI right after the meeting that we had last month. And it's been hard to continually move forward. And when it comes to a building, there's so many other options out there, so many other options than digging up any more of Kauaiahao.
Yeah,
or denying the kupuna from going back home into the same place that they were taken from.
I'd like to say something here. Over the last several meetings, the word trust keeps coming up as if it's kind of like a fancy word or something. Well, trust begins with your actions. And what I'd like to see as a church, being a Christian institution, initiate some trustful action by withdrawing that contested case hearing. Do you want people to reestablish trust? Then go out and withdraw that thing, to get that thing off the table. And let's just start all over. But let, you know, you, as long as you're sticking a stick in the collective eyeballs of the descendants, you aren't going to get anywhere. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
I would just like to second that, because I'm feeling like if two parties have to negotiate or want to negotiate to a peaceful settlement, one of them cannot be throwing up smoke screens all the time, cannot be like dodging in the bushes, you know, or pretending one thing or another. And I know I haven't been participating in this process that long, but from what I've seen, the lineal and cultural descendants have been completely transparent and honest, and the church has not, you know. And there's this continual talking about wanting to talk to us and wanting to get together with us. And then it seems like when we do, they don't really want to, you know, they have an agenda and they don't really want to negotiate with us. And so it's completely frustrating. And I can see why people who have been participating in this process for a really long time, like Kamuela, are totally frustrated and feel totally emotional all the time, because I'm starting to get that way too, you know. And I've only been doing this for about 6 months. So I just feel like honesty, transparency, good faith, you know, the church has to come up to the table with us and be that way too. Thank you.
Hello.
I caught ko'o your comments as well, Vicky, and hale aloha. When I think about us having completed that burial treatment plan, and really it was Mana and his family that did the bulk of the work, that was just awesome. That was an unbelievable task that he took on, and we all took on, and that included the discussions, the invitation to church members to come and join us. And Keiko came and Halnani came, I believe. Mm-hmm. But I think what really is grating at me is you folks took our burial treatment plan. And my guess is you went down and you go, okay, we can live with this, but we cannot live with this. So we're going to add in to what they have already worked on all this time, what the things that we cannot live with and that we have to have happen. And the biggest one is putting the building on the land. The possibility even of that happening is not okay with all of us. And yes, I agree. There is a lack of trust because of all of the things that have been occurring in the past. I've only been involved for a couple of years, not as long as Kala'i. And oh my gosh, I caught Ko'o Vicky's comment. She has been involved almost from the beginning. And I understand the kaumaha that she's feeling because I feel it too. And she's been in this a lot longer than many of us. Time doesn't really matter. Our kupuna matter. Time does matter only because those kupuna need to be put back into where they were dug up from with no building on top of them. And trust related to the church, I'm sorry. Canceling that meeting last minute was unbelievable. Lani ikalamai. But I just don't see where that's happening. And it's not for not wanting to come to the table. It's that we're not getting those invitations. We got one. I've been to the church once. So I just, you know, thank you, Chuck, for your comment. But that trust is the biggest thing that we are having a problem with. And the church does not seem to want to do that.
So, well, did you understand when I said reestablishing trust, a big step towards that could be the church withdrawing that contested case hearing?
I did understand that, and I agree. Thank you.
Oh, okay, thank you. Mahalo.
So at this point, I'd like to interject and just say that all that I have heard speaks to something that many of us may have potentially been told when we were growing up. When our families, our parents or our grandparents said, what, you know, common sense.
It's 12 o'clock.
Thank you. Or somebody will say, well, common sense should say, or common sense should tell us, but that presumes that we are all of the same commonality. And I clearly see that we are not. There may be things that maybe emotionally, mentally, experience-wise, you know, growing up, there may be things we haven't shared, but coming from a common place of worldview, opinion, and all that, it's clear we don't. We just don't. And, you know, one of my frustrations over the many years is that every time in my own personal advocacy, in my capacity as leadership for this council, I felt that it was doable to re-engage in more meaningful conversations. And of course, that was all contingent upon that trust and that mutually shared respect. But that was not what was really felt. And so, I'm not surprised that the recent meeting, what was it, the other night that you guys were supposed to meet? I'm not surprised it was canceled at the last minute. I'm not surprised that, you know, the response will be that we have to be careful what we say, we have to be careful what we do, you know, because that's been the color of the church is engaged. That is their legal advice. They're following their legal advice. So I just don't even stress about it anymore. I already anticipate it's not a battle I want to pick, and it's not something that I feel deserves my time or energy, because that's what they're going to say. Under legal advice, we can't talk about it. Legal advice, we can't output an opinion. We can't say. So, aole pilikia, olomua. And all of you descendants, you know, I think that if you have any other expectation beyond that, which they have demonstrated consistently, I think that you set yourselves up for a whole lot of, you know, undue stress, which, hey, if you want to, that's fine. But, you know, the track record is established, so I take everything in stride now. But thank you, everyone, for being so candid, because it's good to talk about the elephants. I don't like the elephants in the room kind of action. Elephants in the room drive me nuts. So good. All you guys got it out there. Great.
Can I say one more thing, Hina?
Yes, yes.
Kala'i. Okay, I just want to say that I kako'o the mana'o of Hale Aloha.
So for myself, my ohana, and my kupuna, if the burial treatment plan that the church is bringing forth is asking for a relocation of our kupuna, I don't need to wait in. I've already weighed in on that. Because that's the bottom line. Relocation or preservation in place. We have asked for that. We have received that determination. I stand by that to the last breath in my body. And you don't need to ask my opinion because it's not going to happen. Relocation of our kupuna means that we're going to put them someplace else other than where they're supposed to go and where they deserve to go. Because there's only one question that anybody on this call got to ask themselves. What is pono for the kupuna? And you either know the answer or you don't. But if you're going to skirt around the answer and continue to give us answers that don't make sense, comments that don't make sense, please don't waste our time. Been doing this way too long. And we have also asked certain people that participate in these meetings not to participate because of the offensive things they have said to us as descendants. Dave Scheidler, that's you, one of them. That the things that you have said in the past and continue to say are offensive and hurtful and painful, and we don't need any more of that. So having said that, please make a decision on who's going to be the spokesperson for the church and the burial treatment plan, because we don't need any more pain added on. We don't need any more salt rubbed into our wounds. Say that straight up to you, David. But I will not kako'o any plan that we ask for the relocation of our kupuna, period. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo. That begets the, thank you for saying that. That begets, that word pono. What I may feel is pono is not what anyone else on this call may feel is pono. And likewise for everyone else. Everyone has their own level of what they see as fit and what you want to see. So I can't say that, I can't say anything against what was just said by Kalai. Because she's right. What's pono? But that begets the larger question of what is pono and in whose opinion is pono? So as your leadership of this council, what I feel that we as your advocates, all of us on the council, will continue to avail ourselves to is what is amiable to all of you, the descendants, what is pono to you as a cumulative, and what is pono that you can support and stand by. So to me, no matter what happens in terms of the actions and the decision-making by this council, descendants, please be confident and remain confident in that our actions so far have reflected what your wishes and your desires are, and they will continue to reflect what your desires are. And that could go a couple of different ways depending on what happens in the next couple of weeks. However, council members, could you all please echo that we will remain committed to what the descendants feel is a cumulative pono?
Koko'o.
Koko'o.
Mahalo. Mahalo, mahalo. Ko laulua.
It is now 12:08.
Yeah. Thank you. Any further updates from the church?
Just mahalo to everyone for your time and for, you know, the earnest and mana'o shared today. Hale mahalo for your leadership and mahalo for the presentation. We please do review the burial treatment plan. We want to continue to try and get as close as possible in the final document, whatever Shipti determines that to be. And Chuck, we didn't forget about your timeline. We will get it to you as soon as possible. Perhaps the trustees has, perhaps Bill has a final mahalo to all of you.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Mahalo kako.
Madam Chair, please let you just make a final statement, if I may, please.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, I think it's important that everyone know that the church is listening. Keiko and I, as representatives of the church, have heard all of these arguments today and do take them seriously. However, I think a couple of points, and Chair, I want to thank you so much for reminding us of some of the dateline that that creates some of the added stress in Kaumaha and taking us back to our March 2019 meeting at OHA. The church did come prepared, albeit knowing that there would be challenged, but it was at least a beginning document of a burial treatment plan proposal, which we could launch a discussion to the meeting held in the OHA offices, which we were very grateful to have. And we witnessed, and rightly so, we knew there would be some disagreement, but what we saw and received instead was quite a different story, and it was not, if you will, but we took it to heart and we retreated to Ho'oloi to listen and not speak anymore. So the rest of the hour and a half or 2 hours of the meeting, the church intently and our kahu standing throughout that time listened. And the what was shared is not, has continued all this time. But what is disheartening is when some of us, whether it be the church or whether it be our descendants, dig in so deep to make bold statements says that they will refuse to continue the discussion. That, is disheartening in that, this is what prolongs these struggles. And I know that the prevailing comment about the church is not being fully transparent. Unlike everyone else that attends these meetings, this particular meeting in this case of the Waiha'o Church, Waiha'o Church remains to be involved and in two, not one, but two litigation pieces that causes the church to be very guarded, both by the court and by our attorney's recommendation to be very guarded in what we can and cannot say. Many times I wanna, and some of our own council members, our own trustees wanna just, say, no, or this we wanna share, but we're not able to, and it does in fact, and we can't help the image that we're not being transparent or that we're not worthy of any trust. That is just part of it. And so I'm not asking for comment, and I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just sharing the reality of the situation. Even now, before having even had a chance to glance at the recommendation, even after David disclosed there were many commonalities and Lonnie presented that, once we are at the place that we can, when the appropriate time comes up, we hope to re-engage in discussion, because without discussion, we will never come to a resolution. So those who are saying that they will not come to the table, I'm so sorry. Really, I respect your decision and the church will respect your decision. But we hope in time for the sake of our EV Kupuna, because it is. The church has never disagreed with all of our, all of the descendants that the first and primary concern is Malamana EV Kupuna Kwayao. And that's that is one of the main commonalities that we can at least grasp onto and then come back to the discussion. So I thank everybody thank the council. Especially want to thank Lonnie and David and Keiko and others who have put the work in and into at least getting to a place where we can compare, I hope, compare and come to together to support the commonalities and continue discussion on the areas where we're still not in agreement. I believe that there is hope only if we can come to the table, respect each other, aloha each other, and hammer out our differences to something where we all can be comfortable with. So again, mahalo, mahalo, mahalo to everybody.
Mahalo.
Chair, I have a question.
I'm an owl.
Hello, okay. Question for the State Historic Preservation Division staff. And basically, what my question is what are the next steps that happen now? Because right now, we're currently in the state of limbo. Last month, we approved the burial treatment plan. And of course, the Oahu Island Burial Council has jurisdiction over preservation of place and relocation. But the short-term, long-term recommendations are at the power of SHPD, which they would have to letter to Pahala Treasurer and the applicant. And that part of the reason why Halealoha said that that they need that approval before they can render the contested case hearing. But now we have an added complication of a new burial treatment plan. So we have a burial treatment plan that's been passed by the YEDC, but the approval letter hasn't come out with DLNR yet. And now we're going to have a new burial treatment plan coming in, and we have a contested case hearing. All three. So as part of the, like a lot of these balls are all in DLNR's court. And I was just wondering from DLNR, which ball are you going to hit? Are you going to send the approval letter to the applicant for the burial treatment plan that was approved last month? Or are you going to hold on to that burial treatment plan and wait for the Kwaihawa Church to submit their burial treatment plan? There's three things simultaneously occurring right now.
Excellent.
Well, I think Halealoha made some good arguments, very good points about our burial treatment plan and the court case or the contested case hearing that the church has submitted. And as I said earlier, I think the ball is now in Shipley's court because of this contested case hearing. Are they going to accept that and proceed that case, or are they going to? And I think they also have to send us that letter because the letter just says, "Okay, the OIB, just to let you know, OIBC approved your burial treatment plan." Mm-hmm. As far as I know, that's all the letter would say. But Shipti has a hard decision here because of this contested case hearing and the legal questions that Halealoha has raised about it. They're kind of, I see that they're kind of stuck between a rock and hard spot.
Yeah, and so
you hear that, Halealoha?
Yes.
I don't want to laugh at it, but you know, it's just
like I remember when we used to do burial treatment plans. Sometimes the OIBC, or at that time it was Hawaii Island Burial Council, they would make long-term preservation measures that the SHPD did not concur to, and they had the power to make that change, write it down in a letter, send it off to the applicant, and then they could do a contested case hearing against that.
Correct.
But we're not there yet. So we've entered the decision, but we did not communicate anything to Kwaihawa Church or the applicant as far as the short-term, the long-term preservation measures and the ultimate approval of the burial treatment plan. But now we have this other burial treatment plan. So that one's, are you following? So there's like these simultaneous things that are occurring. But is anybody from SHPD on?
Yeah, aloha kamanao. This is Leslie. Regina's right next to me as well. And we hear your question, your mana'o, and it's actually a very legit question to ask at this time. But what we have been advised to actually respond is that we have received the contested case petition at this time. However, the DLNR chair has not made a decision on how to respond yet. And so unfortunately, that is where we stand. Our hands are tied until Suzanne Case makes a decision.
I completely understand your position, and I would expect it. But I would hope that DLNR looks at the points that Holly Aloha made today in terms of why that contested case hearing is invalid. Because I'm not an attorney, but it sounded like his points seemed pretty darn valid to me. So DLNR has to respond to those points before they.
I agree with that. Sorry, Kalamai. I agree with that as well, Chuck. And that is why our duty is to put the minutes together and allow the chair to see what the points were made from all sides. And so that's what we're doing at this point.
Madam Chair, may I?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so the point that's being missed here is that administrative law is about process. That's why you have all these rules. What shall means you got to, may means you can if you like. So it just tells you what you can and cannot do. So a determination was made by the OIBC last month. The process says the next step is formal notification. It's not whether or not the DLNR chair will accept the petition because she cannot. There isn't finality yet to the decision. Once the formal notification occurs, then she can, any third party is free to request an appeal, request to appeal the decision. She then determines whether or not to grant that. So it is not a question of where we are waiting for her, the SHPD is waiting for her to decide so then they can know what the formal notification is. That's not what the law says. Law says, you notify the applicant of the council's determination. Applicant then decides accept, request reconsideration, or appeal. Once we make that decision, third parties are free to do what they want if they choose to appeal it. Then the church can resubmit its petition for the contested case. And in my view, listening to everything that was said, and thank you, Chuck, for your comments, and especially thank you, Kamanao, for really putting clarity to this, yeah. But based on what Bill just said and based on the presentation by Mr. Scheidler, we are completely at odds at the basic question of preserve in place or relocate, as Kamuela rightfully pointed out. That's not going to get resolved if we keep meeting this way for the next, I don't care how many years. We fundamentally disagree on whether or not a person buried at the Kwaiahao burial ground can be returned to the exact spot where their family put them. We fundamentally disagree with on that point. And no amount of talking to each other, and just to clarify, Bill, we weren't saying we weren't going to consult. We were telling you what our consultation is. We're telling you what our position is. That is participation, and that is consultation. It's not refusal to consult. Kamuela and I were telling you, our position is this, that's consultation. So in my view, let's just move to the appeal and let the process play itself out, because otherwise we're just gonna keep talking. Next time we're gonna keep talking to each other. Let's rock and roll, I'm ready. Same rules apply at the appellate level. The panel has to use the preservation criteria. It has to give weight to the OIBC decision. Let's do it. And then the church wants to appeal that decision. That's fine, because the court is subject to the same standard of review. And once we get a final determination, then we're going to move to implement it. Otherwise, no amount of telling each other, oh, we're very close. We're not. We are at diametric opposites. Our plan said preserve in place, your plan says relocate. We asked for two burials to be relocated. That was it. Everybody else stay, be put back where they were placed originally. And let's just move on. I know the OIBC has a lot of other cases. I know Hakipu Ohana is on, waiting to deal with their case. let's move to the appeal. Because, and it's not a situation where you made a decision and somebody comes up with a barrier treatment plan later and you go, hey, okay, hold up. What do you have to say? That determination has been made. And the church appealed it. They are challenging your decision. I say, let's do it.
But Hale Aloha, didn't you present an argument saying that they have no right to appeal it at this time? No.
At this time, that's the critical part. At this time. Yeah? So then the decision letter comes out. Once the applicant, who is a descendant, are in receipt of the letter, and then respond with their decision, at that moment, that's when the church can, or any other party.
I got you.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's premature. I'm not saying that they don't have the right to appeal, because they certainly do. Yeah. And one last thing, I forgot to mention, I don't know if he's on the call, but to thank Ken Makuakane for also helping bridge the gap, the communication gap, and try to get us at the same table talking to each other. So thank you, Lani. Thank you, Ahumakuakane. And, you know, we're more than willing to sit there and talk with you. We're also equally as willing to go to an appeals process. You know, the team is being put together as we speak. So we're ready either way. I just want to move this forward. As Kalihua said, we need to be expeditious in our actions. So let's be expeditious. And a mahalo again, Chair, for just the incredible leadership. And OIBC members, be ready because you're going to be called to as witnesses in the appeal.
I look forward to being called. About if I have ever called. Mahalo.
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 Thank you to all those who are in attendance. Is there any further comments, responses to what has been said?
Yeah, I have one quick question of Hale Aloha, having nothing to do with contested hearings or any of that. Please, but proceed. Hale Aloha, that picture behind you?
Yes.
Is that the same? That's not the same hole that I walked down into last year, is it?
Which hole?
Like the hole I walked down into was much, much bigger than that.
This is before they remove all the burials and all the matrix.
So that was way before.
Before picture.
Okay. It is the same.
Could I add something here, please? Okay. I'd like to speak on behalf of Hana Keola Kinimaka. Her picture is here. You see her right there. Yesterday, put a little bit of humanity back into the situation. Yesterday, we received a copy of the Diary of the Queen, Lili Okalani, and what happened in her diary, she says that in June 1893, out of her own personal savings account, she took out $50 to pay for Hana Keola's coffin. So just, you know, mahalo for all your words today, but I just needed to speak on behalf of her. She's sitting here with us today.
Nice. Awesome.
Mahalo. Mahalo, thank you. Seeing as how there is no further discussion or comment, may we proceed, everyone?
Hi.
Mahalo. Holomono ho'i kako ya item C. Epiliana Noy, Clarence A. Medeiros Jr.'s descendancy recognition application to skeletal remains located at the Hale Waiolu Senior Residences Project. Makaili Okala Wahine, Ma Honolulu Ne, Oahu Aina TMK, Kahi, Kahihiku, Ole Ono Ole, Kahi Lua Ole. Let this reading be the official reading, not only for this recognition, but for the remainder of the recognitions on our agenda today. The council may elect to go into executive session pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-25D. The council may close a meeting whenever location or description of a Native Hawaiian burial site is under consideration. The chairperson, by concurrence of a majority of members present at the meeting, shall be authorized to require the public to leave the meeting while the confidential matter is being discussed, and reopen the meeting once the confidential matter is no longer being considered. I am not quite sure how we expedite this in a manner that we are accustomed to. This is one area where I admittedly do not have the clarity that I would like to have. So therefore, if there's anybody who does not wish to have this discussed currently in an open session, please indicate that, and then I will have to have a follow-up phone call to figure that out. Is there anyone on our agenda today that will have an issue with having an open discussion while we are all on distance meeting? Seeing as none, holomoho i kakou. Is Clarence Medeiros Jr. present? Oh yeah.
Madam Chair, if you may. Madam Chair, it appears that Clarence Medeiros is not on today, and as well as they didn't respond to Regina's email. So if we could actually move forward from C, but also D, and also G at this time.
So do we have E, Leilani Coelho?
Yes.
And F as well.
Let us holomoho i kakou ya Leilani Coelho. Descendancy recognition application to skeletal remains located at 5088 Kia'i Place, Maka'ili o Wailupe, Ahupa Waikiki, Mokokona, Aino Ahunei, TMK, Kahi, Kolu Ono, Ole Lua Kolu, Ole Oleono. Holomua.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask Leslie. So those the other items, they were contacted or they didn't respond?
Yeah, that's correct, Kali. Okay. So we sent out an email. They didn't respond. Okay. They also are not on the Zoom at this moment. And so therefore, we'll just move forward.
Okay.
So please let our official record note that Clarence Medeiros Jr. and Gail Ka'io are not present in this meeting. At the pleasure of the chair, I would like them to have the opportunity to speak to our council so that we may feel free to ask them questions, and that they may respond to any and all public comment or inquiry. Holomuoho i kakou, Leilani Coelho.
Aloha.
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 I'm here.
Leilani.
Yes.
You are, where are you? I can't see you.
Labeled Mela, there you go.
Ah, Mela, okay. All right, please articulate in a succinct of a manner as you can the reason why you wish to be recognized by this council for the purpose of Malama Ivi Kupuna.
Well, I'm registering as a lineal descendant of the Kalua family because I believe that the burial site that you discovered there may be one of a family member of mine, and I strongly believe that somebody in my family needs to stand up and protect and try to do what we can to preserve it. I can't hear you.
You're muted.
Anything further?
Hina, did you hear what she said?
No. What was the last comment?
I'd like to stand up for my family and try to work to preserve that burial site while I'm going through this process to find out if that is actually a family member of mine or not.
I see. Okay. Council members, thoughts, comments before I offer my comment?
Sorry, it was a request for a lineal. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah.
Yes, I did apply as a lineal descendant of the Kalua family. My great-great-grandmother was Hattie Kalua.
And Leilani, I tell Oi, where are you?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, I remember you from last year. Mahalo.
So this is the burial in Aina Haina?
Wailupe?
Yeah, Wailupe, Aina Haina.
Yes.
And this is the burial that's in the little lava tube within this project.
Yes.
So I guess my question to you is, what benefit would lineal descendancy or cultural descendancy give you? How would you gain by that?
Knowing that if that is a family member of mine, that burial site is protected and nobody's disturbing it. That's how we would benefit from it.
Leilani.
Yes.
I have a question. Did you just earlier say you're still researching and not sure yet if that is your ohana, your family? You're still researching to find out that it truly is, right?
Yes, I'm still in the process of doing genealogy research for that area.
Mahalo.
Mahalo, council members.
Well, I have a comment. This is the Wailupe Berriman. This is the one that was in the blister. Was I think it's a single human bone. One of the issues when it comes to lineal descendancy recognition is you should know without a doubt who that person is inside of the bone. For instance, we have recognized lineal descendants in the Kwaiha'o Church burial case because it's there are records that tombstones that can identify who that person is. In the case of Wailupe, it's on the side of a cliff inside of a small cave blister, and it was a single human burial. So given that, like, we don't know if that burial is Kalua or not. We don't know. All we have is just that one bone. And so it's really hard to make the case as far as a lineal descendancy recognition for that bone found in the blister. Like how you had stated, if it was a marked graveyard or a marked with a tombstone that had the Kalua name on it, then you could apply for lineal descendancy recognition. But when it comes to, like, if you find a bone and then there's no other identifying features, it's really hard to make the case as far as lineal descendancy recognition.
Mahalo. Any other council member for comment?
I kako o what was just stated by council member Mills.
What was that, Mana?
I kako o the statement that council member Mills just made about the complexities of issuing a lineal descendancy claim with the information that we have on this particular EB kupuna.
Hello. Okay, I was looking for the my download, but wait. Here somewhere. Regina or Leslie, please confirm. I'm looking so that I could be able to read it. But wait, it's buried under here in the pages. Hold on.
It's buried, no pun intended.
Hold on.
He's trying to make hyena again.
Okay, I don't seem to, I'm not able to pull it up.
Aloha, Hina. This is Regina. What are you looking for?
I am looking for, damn it, I lost you guys too. Okay, I was looking for the language that you put forward for this recognition.
Oh, mahalo. Our recommendation was for cultural descendancy recognition.
Okay. You feel that the applicant has met the requirement for that level of recognition?
Only based on genealogy. We can't be certain as to who is buried in the cave.
Okay. So with that said, I would not anticipate any other type of recognition to be offered. However, this presents our council with an interesting topic that we encountered the last time. Council members, do you remember what we had, what we had talked about?
Hi.
Would anybody care to engage on this?
I'll engage really quickly. Okay, so in talking with the LNR CHPD, as you just read, Mila. Hello, Mike. I want to get Jerry.
Bonnie.
Okay. Bonnie. Hello, okay. Mike. So lineal descendancy is you have to like identify who that individual is and then establish a genealogical connection. So cultural descendancy recognition, I'm reading from the administrative rules, means with respect to non-Native Hawaiian skeletal remains, a claimant recognized by the department as being the same ethnicity or with respect to Native Hawaiian skeletal remains, a claimant recognized by the council after establishing genealogical connections to Native Hawaiian ancestors who once resided or are buried or both in the same ahupua'a or district in which certain Native Hawaiian skeletal remains are located or originated from. So as part of that, you had saying that you're still researching your genealogical connection to this, to the Kalua Ohana who once resided in this ahupua'a.
Yes, the burial site that was there is directly next to the Kalua family property that they had. So I am assuming that that burial site possibly belonged to somebody in the Kalua family or in one of the other families that is in that surrounding area. Nika, Kahui, all those other families come up in my genealogy. I was able to provide that information to Regina so I can also connect to those families as well. But I'm assuming it's from the Kalua family because it was directly next to their property at that time.
So there's Kalua families all over the state. So, but then
you're, and I was told that I can't even have a DNA extraction done to see if that is either my great-great-grandmother or another relative.
Oh,
I don't know how else you can prove a connection to an unmarked burial site. This is all new to me. So if you can explain that, that would be pretty helpful.
What would you, all we'd have to do, okay, there's Kalua families all over the state. But what you're saying is in this Wailupe area, that Kalua family is related to you. Because as part of this is just a genealogical connection to Native Hawaiian ancestors who once resided in that area. So just making sure that you're saying that your genealogical traces to the Kalua, that it's not the Kalua family on the Big Island, or it's not the Kalua family on Kauai. It's the Kalua family on Oahu.
I know in the early 1900s, my family, the Kalua family, did live in Evil Eye. So in the Honolulu area. So it's possible that it could be them. I'm not 100% sure because I can't have a DNA test done on it. So it's possible.
You know, last month, as I recall, you were asking for a cultural descendancy.
No, I applied as a lineal descendant.
Last month, when you came before us?
Since I first applied in January, it was a lineal descendant.
Okay.
I've never changed my mind on that. But...
my suggestion is that you continue to move forward on your research of your family, to make it fixed in you that that is your family. And then come back, perhaps, to the burial council.
Okay. I have one question for you, Leilani. How is it that you came to know about this issue?
Facebook.
Because you live very far away.
Facebook.
What exactly was said?
There was two posts that I saw. One, one post was just an image of the notice that was put out in the paper, asking for descendants to come forward.
Thank you.
And it was actually both of those. Facebook posting was about that specific notice that was posted.
I see.
Okay.
And then?
You know, when this whole issue came up several months ago, the developer and his archaeologist and some neighborhood representatives were talking about a gal who grew up in Aina Haina. Did you grow up in Aina Haina?
I was born in Rhode Island.
Okay, they talked about a person probably your same age who actually today lives on the East Coast. I thought it was Massachusetts, but was very familiar with that hillside, and that's what I'm asking. That's where I'm coming from. But do you know the status of the burial today?
I have not physically been to that point.
Oh, I know, but do you know what the status of the burial is?
No, I do not know.
Because the burial, the developer, and at our approval, you've heard us talk all ad infinitum today about burial treatment plans. The developer and his archaeologist put together a burial treatment plan, which was had input from various cultural descendants. And that burial treatment plan, we voted on and approved to retain that burial in place and protect it. And the developers actually created a protective buffer around this little cave. So I guess you are not aware of that?
I did see a burial treatment plan, yes, two of them. And it looked like, and what I took it as, is that the cave was going to be covered up so that nobody could have access to it or even go and visit the location. That's one image that I saw. Another image I saw is that this burial site was going to be covered up and a house was going to be put right on top of it. So if I want to go visit it, I have to go and like knock on some stranger's door, which is
unacceptable. I know distance makes it difficult for you, but I think you should make the effort of finding out who the archaeologist was and who the developer was. And maybe our friend Mana here could even help you out and find out just what is the status on that burial, what has been done to protect it, what are your rights as a cultural descendant to go and visit that? Because I think there's a lot of questions here that you don't know the answers for, and it would help you and us in making our decision for you to understand that.
Mahalo. Okay. I've collected my thoughts a little bit. To all those descendants who are still in on this call, this will be a very interesting thing because it connects us to other kinds of discussions that happen in our Kanaka community. And that is the qualification of our ethnicity with regards to enabling our access to, whether it be resources or some other anything that has to do with participation in a discussion. You all see where I'm going with this? I'm talking about being an ethnic Hawaiian. whether it's one drop of Hawaiian blood or a lot. I've been waiting for this situation to come, and now it's finally before the borough council. I mean, you know, disrespect, Leilani. You know, it just so happens that you are the first to present us with this opportunity to analyze this situation, because essentially you may be ethnically descended from Kanaka, but you're not of the Kanaka experience, and you are given that which you have brought up in the points that you've made, it clearly does not necessarily reflect the perspectives of someone who has experience in the Kanaka worldview. So again, with no disrespect to you, this poses a very, a very provocative thought before us, not only for the Borough Council, but for many other things. And I'll step aside from this topic for a moment and say, when we have discussions based on people being Hawaiian, and for example, people being Hawaiian should have a say. People being in Hawaiian should receive financial support, even though they live thousands of miles away. People being Hawaiian, and they should have a vote in what happens here back in the homeland. Okay. Now we have a situation where it's in front of this council that we have a member of the public who is descendant from a Kanaka, and she's before us today, but ethnically she demonstrated that she is who she is, because the SHPD is recommending to us cultural descendancy recognition. However, she did not have the privilege and opportunity to growing up knowing Kanaka, how Kanaka feel, how Kanaka see. So on one hand, is Leilani able to advocate? Yes, she can advocate for something, and she's going to be advocating from the worldview and perspective she comes from. Will that advocacy reflect what other descendants feel as when it comes to, again, that understanding of common sense, commonality? Maybe, maybe not. I highly think not, because, again, we have an ethnic Hawaiian who was born in America, raised in America, and not, you know, being around this. So on a technicality, she demonstrated who she is, and therefore this council, this council could easily afford recognition, right? Because technically she's demonstrated who she says she is. We have honored other people who have come forward, even when those who were born and raised here may not necessarily know too much about burial laws. They may not know too much about burial practices, but they came forward wanting to advocate for their kupuna. This individual is no different, except that she's perhaps even more further removed from us in terms of cultural experience. So I want council members' opinion on this. I want your discussion on this, please.
Well, as usual, I have to give my 2 cents.
Thank you, Chuck.
You know, cultural descendancy to me is a yes or no proposal. And you either are a cultural descendant or you aren't. And you have, I guess, you have shown SHPD that you are. You have the paperwork or whatever, the research to show that, yeah, you have family members that go back to the Aina Haina area. But I think what Hina is saying, and what Paulette Kalakini would say over and over again, is, do you have the spirit, the knowledge, the willingness to really become involved in the protection of this site? And I'm sorry, but I just don't see it. And therefore, if I would have to vote against any
motion for recognition. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Kamanao talking. Let's see. Reading from administrative rules, a claimant recognized by the council after establishing genealogical connections to Native Hawaiian ancestors who once resided or buried or both in the same Ahupua'a district in which the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains are located from. If you can prove, if you have evidence that this Kalua family resides in the Aina Haina area, basically, if I follow the administrative rules, I will vote in your favor of getting cultural descendancy recognition. I understand what Archer is saying. Being in Rhode Island, there might be a disconnect with our Native Hawaiian culture. But if you have the blood and your family is from there, who am I to step in? I mean, the one issue I think that needs to be covered is there's no power in being recognized as the cultural descendancy recognition. There's a lot of kaumaha. There's a lot of weight. There's a lot of responsibility. And it's not a badge of pride you wear. It's a sobering realization that the care of these ancestors are upon your shoulders. And it's not so much about having a say in the matter as you have to deal with the kamaha. You have to bear the weight. And you have to take responsibility for that. If you're willing to do those things, then by following the administrative rules, I'll be voting in support.
Mahalo.
I kākou kamanaus olelo about this. I hope that Leilani can go back and research more and find what she's looking for and then come back and reapply.
Mahalo. Mahalo, Kali and Mana.
I think, who's the Kona Moku rep? Oh, I know, Hina. Maybe we defer, because I understand the letter of the law and the spirit. And so, can we defer? And Leilani, do your research and maybe, talk story with Hina and then we revisit this. That's what I think, but
yeah,
that's just my mana'o.
Mahalo. Mana?
Call my Madam Chair. I stand with Councilmember Mills, mana'o. I myself grew up in America, and I had little or no connection in my younger years to our culture, even though I was ethnically considered Native Hawaiian. And it was through the help of certain individuals who helped me with mo'oku auhau, which basically on the last 20 years of my life, the journey that led me today was that connection through genealogy. So I think, following the administrative rules and whatnot, I think the applicant can be granted cultural descendancy for the Iwi Kupuna on this property. I don't think that the lineal should even be on the table, as for the same reasons that Kamanao had given earlier. Me and my family are went through the process and are culturally recognized descendants to this same Iwi Kupuna that she is seeking. And we are the ones in consultation that have told the landowner and the architects that we want that cave sealed. We don't want anybody, regardless of descendancy or not, to go look inside that cave at all. It's not a tourist attraction. That cave needs to be sealed. It was sealed at one point, not too long ago, and it needs to be sealed again to protect what's left of that kupuna. The latest plans that we have seen, there is a setback, and the original plans that had a house in close proximity of this kupuna have been moved off quite a bit of ways. So as far as we are concerned, speaking of from me and the ohana, this kupuna will be protected in perpetuity by the accepted burial treatment plan that was accepted some time ago.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Can I clarify my comments and in response to what Mana said? And maybe, you know, as an educator, as someone who's a teacher, but also always a student of the culture, it's not my inclination to trump Mo'oku Aohau, right? That's one of the thing that connects us. And so my thought of deferral is, you know, if we're all in a process of reclaiming the land, reclaiming the language, reclaiming the culture, then, and there's a kuleana there, that there's, you know, if we continue to learn, and then I think I would feel better. But whatever the council decides to go, I'm okay with that. If that makes sense.
Mahalo. At this time, I'd like to ask, Hale Aloha still on this call?
Yes.
Hale Aloha, you were responsible for putting together this process. Yes. And I'd like to know your thoughts on this.
Sorry, I was eating lunch, so can you frame the question for me?
Okay, so technically we have someone here who has demonstrated that she is ethnically descended of an ancestor that is from this place.
Yes.
And she lives far away. She was born and raised far away.
That doesn't matter.
On social media, right? So she's on. Now, as part of what this council does, we ask the descendants to come forward to articulate their sentiments as to why they want to be recognized by our council. And we started doing this quite a while back, because there have been incidents where descendants will come forward and then through their sharing of the washboard list of reasons why it's they wanted o'clock. To come forward. Shut up. They wanted to come forward because they had political agendas. They had other underlying agendas that they would also potentially be able to leverage, you know, on their behalf if afforded recognition by this council. And so thus began setting a precedent for this council to ask people to come forward. If we don't know them, in fact, you were one of the very ones, Hale Aloha, that we made an exception for because of your role in not only Malama Ivi Kupuna work, but your major role in why we have this process and these laws today. So you were pretty much the only one that we gave more consideration to, and thus we, you know, even if you weren't present, we clearly knew your investment and your how do I say it? Your orientation and grounding to this cause. However, that has not always been the case with other descendants, and thus we started to make it a point. It is not written formally in any kind of policy or procedure for the borough council, because each borough council tends to take on the persona of its you know, membership, right, and their fortitude, their wherewithal, their insights, and their perspectives, their whether they're culturally astute or not, you know, the council takes on who they are. So I think procedurally we have what is it, Mom? Procedurally, we have someone here who we don't necessarily, you know, have any cause to deny recognition, but there are things that she has mentioned along the way that would raise eyebrows on many of us who have been in this discussion. You know, for example, you know, the approach to ascertaining one's genealogical connection to the remain, also the handling and what exactly constitutes Malama Ivi Kupuna. From the last conversation till today, I've heard some of the same things that would be like, oh my gosh, I didn't necessarily see this coming. And this applicant is not as astute as others, you know, may have. Now, again, that should cut no ice because I didn't have any burial, a direct burial experience before I came on the council. Mana is someone who, you know, who comes from the States because that's where his family moved. And so, you know, now he's an integral part of this process. So, you know, I kind of want to get your thoughts on this just because we've not had this. We've not had to engage on this kind of thing before.
So this is a case of recognition, an applicant requesting recognition as either a lineal or a cultural descendant. Is that what's going on here?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, as you already just articulated, the council's main role is to assess the information that's first reviewed by SHPD staff, mm-hmm. and then SHPD staff make a recommendation on whether or not the documentation that was submitted qualifies the applicant for either lineal descendant or cultural descendant status. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the extent what the rules allow. If a council wants to go beyond that and ask questions of the applicant's intent, that's fine, but they cannot use that as criteria on whether or not to grant lineal cultural descent, because that is clearly laid out in the rule based on birth certificates, death certificates, marriage certificates, church records, oral testimony, archaeological evidence. I mean, it lists all the different types of input that the council can determine, or consider rather, in making a determination on or a recommendation to, or an acceptance of SHPD's recommendation on whether there are lineal cultural descent. The key is that either the information qualifies the applicant as a lineal descendant, which means they have a good idea on who that person is, or lacking that, that they can definitely demonstrate that their ohana is from the same area where these burials are, and the chances of them being related to them qualifies them to be placed in the position of responsibility as a cultural descendant. Mm-hmm. And then the third choice is, they've achieved neither, and therefore they're not a descendant at all. So that's the that's what the rules provide for. What they determine and what their choices are in terms of how they're going to behave as descendants, that is outside of the scope of the council, completely outside. Person, if this is the Wailupe, name was Opunui was on there, but that's because our ohana is on land in that area, but I know she's not in that cave. And that's why I'm not submitting anything or engaging. So the council is free to, you know, ask questions like that, but it's limited in scope to the submitted documentation in terms of recognizing lineal cultural descent. And let me give you one example of where the state blew that, totally blew it. And that was when I submitted a lineal descendant claim for my Tonson Kupuna buried at Kwaiha'o. So in the end, the SHPD said deny lineal descendant recognition. And the reasoning is because the burial wasn't being impacted by the project. You read the rules, that's not a criteria. Am I a descendant of Harriet Kapukalani Kikahili Lani Ohawai Loa Blanchard Townsend? Absolutely. But the state recommended to deny recognition. You're only recognized if the Ivi is involved in the case. That's not a criteria. The question is, am I a descendant of this person? I've submitted, because it's recent, direct connection to her and direct connection to her daughter. whose brother I am, George Hamilton Peck Townsend, is who I mentioned in the previous case. So the state, as well as the council, got to be real clear on what's allowed when it makes its consideration and what it can consider but not rely upon to make a decision.
Yes.
So in this case, you can ask her those questions, but you cannot, that cannot be the basis for your determination.
Okay, Halealoha, you're saying that, Halealoha, you're saying that if SHPDE puts forth a recommendation because they have all the facts, then the law says the Borough Council shall agree with a determination.
No,
it's not. It may determine.
It will consider, because SHPD is making a recommendation. Council is free to not accept it, that recommendation, and decide on its own. You are authorized, you're allowed to do that. I'm just saying what you cannot rely upon, though, is either the political motivations or what the particular applicant wants to do with their lineal descent status. That is completely their responsibility to act on behalf of their family. Your job is to consider whether or not SHPD's assessment is accurate based on the documentation, whether you believe that the application may be incomplete, and ask the applicant to submit additional information to be able to either qualify as a cultural descendant or lineal descendant, or you can deny it. So those are your options. But it's based on the information relating to lineal connection, and it's also irrelevant where they were raised. That it doesn't matter. They can be anywhere in the world, but if they are linearly connected to that person and they can demonstrate it through Palo, through oral history, through a member in their family, then that is information the council then takes into consideration when it determines whether or not to recognize the lineal or cultural descendant request.
Mahalo, and thank you for saying that, because that's exactly how, in my mind, this scenario is playing out.
Okay.
Now, for all of the descendants, thank you. You've confirmed what I see. However, now in the case of the earlier discussion topic, which has been very contentious for the last 10 years, you know, right now, discussions in and amongst cultural and lineal descendants, they flow a certain way. Because majority of you come from at least a range of similar cultural background experience, and you don't have as much dissension among you folks, yeah? Which works to your advantage. Now imagine if that issue that brings the bulk of you descendants who are on this phone call, and imagine if all of you were really wide apart on it, you know. So yes, you are. I believe that you are exactly correct. That we can hear it, we can take it into consideration, but it doesn't necessarily. It's not meant to be the basis of our decision making.
Correct.
Yeah. And just like Kamula Kala'i said earlier about trust, okay. We have to not only trust in our relationships between ourselves, but we have to trust in the process. We have to trust in the mechanism that brings us together. So this is what I wanted. I anticipated that you would say that. That's where my mind had already gone. I heard the rest of the sentiments from the council that, you know, they would not necessarily be voting to offer recognition even at a cultural level. But given what you said, you know, that's very valuable food for thought. So I, at this time, before I open up this meeting to a vote for recognition or not by this council, I would like anybody else present in the audience to articulate, want regarding this topic.
Hi. Mahalo. I would just say that the bottom line for anybody coming forward for recognition, whether it is cultural or lineal recognition, that they are asking for Puliana. That is the bottom line for that person to make those decisions on behalf of their family, on behalf of themselves and their family and their kupuna. The Kuliana belongs to them, and if that's they're coming forward and they can demonstrate the connection, that's on them. So I would say God bless everybody who does come forward, because it's a big, big Kuliana. It's not something to be taken lightly. And it's not something to be taken lightly. So I believe the responsibility and the privilege of being a descendant, culturally or lineal descendant, is on the Mo'opuna who comes forward. So God bless us all. Mahalo mo'i.
Mahalo. Any further comment? Weigh in now, folks. Because what I see potentially happening is, you know, imagine that you find yourself in a scenario where descendants are granted recognition, but because of, either lack of understanding or, you know, full of all kinds of agendas and everything, and then the focus steers away from Malama Ivi Kupuna. See, please realize, everyone, the reason why we started to implement this kind of audience with us is to ascertain that the individual was truly coming forward to Malama Ivi Kupuna. That is where we have a little bit more discretion and a little bit more room. It is not the basis for a yes or a no, but it may influence how we consider the individual. And with that said, you know, we started to do this because we wanted to make sure that the individual was going to say, it's my kuleana to Malama Ivi Kupuna to advocate for this person who I claim descendancy to, plain, simple, and short. End of story. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Let me just add, in my 8 years now?
Yes.
We've shown a tremendous amount of consistency and consensus. And so I'm going to quote our chair here, who always talks about Western law and Kanaka ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that's why I say, hey, maybe we defer. Because I think there's even some descendants here that have had to come multiple times before us as they've learned the process, but also as they picked up the kuleana and what that means. So I think, Anthony, you nailed it on the head. It's a kuleana question. By law, yeah, we're bound by, that's what the law says, but we've consistently said, hey, but there's the law, and then there's also the Kanaka way of thinking. And so it's really a kuleana question. That's why my preference would be to defer for Leilani to do a little more research, to confer with a Moku representative, to, and she's been here last month, and this is our long meeting. She was here last month. She can be, mm-hmm. come back next month, talk, and I would feel more comfortable. But hey, like I said, I want to go be consistent and work towards consensus. So yeah, I'll go with how the council goes. Mahalo.
Madam Chair, coming out, we'll talk. Yeah, mahalo to Hale Aloha for that, because I understand your point, Chair, regarding having that the cultural Kanaka mentality, Kanaka responsibility. But growing up in my life, I did not start my life living the Kanaka mindset. I learned it over time. And one thing I can hope and pray for you, Leilani, is by considering going down this process, that it'll help to put you in a pathway to you understand that, to get that Kanaka mindset going inside of you. This is maybe putting you on that pathway. So with that, Leilani, I have a question for you. Getting cultural descendancy recognition is not an honor. It's actually, it's a responsibility. It's a kaumaha, because the burials cannot speak but as recognized lineal and cultural descendancies, descendants come forward. We listen to their voices, so they speak through you. We hear your voice, and it. We hope and pray that it represents the voice of those burials. Leilani, are you willing to take on this kind of responsibility?
Oh, absolutely. I'm willing to make whatever sacrifices that I need to make sure that any family burial site that belongs to anyone in my family is protected. I wouldn't be here if there wasn't an issue. I can promise you that. There's an issue, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
I'm happy to hear that. Lesson number one, when it comes to burials, it's to help put you on that Kanaka mindset. It's not always about visitation. The number one thing we like want to do is to have the burials rest, is to sleep. And the best way we do that sleep is we malama them, we put them to bed, we put them to rest. And every once in a while, we may come to just check up to make sure that their resting place is okay. What threw us off last month was when you said that you're really curious and you wanted to explore and look. And so it threw me for a curveball right there. But if you're willing to help us put this EB to rest and to support that, then yes, you have my vote for cultural descendancy recognition. Mahalo nui.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to make one more statement here. I hear what everybody has said, and I appreciate it. However, the Ivi have already been put to rest. The cave has been secured, and the developer, you know, Mana, you know more about this than I do. But all those decisions have been made, so there isn't too much more impact that she can have. But if she shows me next month that she's actually contacted the developer and the archaeologist and they made an effort to understand what has happened firsthand, then I'll vote for it. But I'm not prepared to vote for it today.
Okay, I will get on top of that.
Mahalo.
Leilani, this is Auli, are you connected with any Hawaiian civic clubs or organizations there where you live?
No.
I lived 20 years in California, and you know, we're people of the hula, so the hula kept us and ignited that Hawaiian in us and kept us grounded as Hawaiians in California. Then we moved out to foreign Hawaiian clubs, civic clubs, and that we surrounded ourselves with that around us so we could really, living away from home, you take things more seriously because you miss it. So perhaps that might be something you can do in your future, because there are different Hawaiian civic clubs around your area and places that may have Hawaiian organizations. Do you have any around you?
Not that I know of. There's a dance studio
check out the Association of Hawaiian Civic Clubs. Check it out, okay? Will you look that up?
I'm sorry, your connection the Association of good. Hawaiian I can't Civic hear Club. You.
Association of Hawaiian Civic Clubs.
Okay.
Just an idea.
Mahalo. I'll venture to say that I appreciate this engage and the moment of intellectual analysis that we've been putting forward, because I don't know about anybody else, but it matters a lot to me. Okay. And, you know, I would be remiss if I did not say that right now, as your chair, I am confident in always putting my voice behind what the descendants want. Now, I've been in meetings over the past 12 years that, you know, there was great dissension among the descendants, and sometimes my opinion was not welcomed and it was not received well. Sometimes the descendants said, mind my own business. yet, you know, we may soon see in the future that we'll have a lot of people that will come forward or potentially come forward for recognition, but because their life's experiences are not in consistency, you know, or just do not have that current capacity to advocate from what some might consider best case Kanaka situation. Excuse me. You know, we could have a situation like Koyahao Church, and you know, there'll be a whole bunch of descendants that are gonna say, "Yep, that's great. You know, go ahead, build a building, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." And you know, that's that potential reality. And so I take that into consideration. What I mean is I may find myself too far across the divide from descendants, because the descendants may come from such a great, different life experience and perspective that I will be at odds, and I would be inclined to not support what descendants advocate for. And that's part of the reason why I really am appreciating this time. But back, like Hale Aloha had said, the criteria was met for what she needed to do to come forward for her recognition. And everything else is all subjective. Am I correct, Hale Aloha?
You are correct. I'm not Hale Aloha. I want to say one thing, Hina, please. So I think, once again, the bottom line is, regardless of who comes forward to be recognized as a cultural or as a descendant, let's just say, come forward to be recognized as a descendant, if the understanding of Kuleana is there, or whether it isn't there, for that particular individual and their ohana, that Kuleana is on them. So, once again, what is pono for the kupuna? Like, what is the best thing we can do for our kupuna? If descendants have disagreements about what that is, it eventually comes out in the wash somehow, some way, yeah? So, I don't think anybody can make a predetermination when somebody comes forward for recognition to say, maybe they will, maybe they won't. That has to be determined as the process goes forward, right? And if the bottom line is met for the best thing that we can do for Kupuna, then I think that is the best thing we can hope for. Families will agree or disagree. Descendants will agree or disagree. That happens during the process, yeah? So I just hope and pray that everybody who comes forward for the best interests of our Ivi Kupuna. I believe that's why this process was created, was to help protect our kupuna from harm and from disturbance and from desecration. It's the bottom line. So that plays itself out in time, just as we are playing the Kuaiha'o scene out for 10 years and more already. So, I think you have to have faith. If they have faith that that pono will prevail, aloha will always win at the end of the day, and that our kupuna are our foundation, and without them, we don't exist. That's where I come from, and I hope people will understand that. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo. Okay, everyone. So, council members.
Can I do something?
Yes. Aina Lani.
Hello, Mike. I just wanted to add to the discussion a little bit. When I first came forward for my lineal descendancy, it was really funny because before I came forward, I was like, oh, I heard Hina's like really intense, you know, and when you sit before Hina, you know, she's gonna eye to eye, you know.
You were right.
Oh my God, what if she throws me out of the meeting, you know? You know, I think what I have been able to count on over this small amount of time that I've been in the OIBC process and representing our Ohana, is that I've seen the council make determinations based on not only the, you know, following criteria, but based on integrity. And I think that that integrity speaks volumes. When somebody comes forward and you have a lineal tie, at the end of the day, even if you have that lineal tie, it does not mean that the efforts that you put forth are going to be pono. And we've seen it, and it'll come out in the wash. And I think that'll be anybody's karma during any time in the process of coming forward to want to do something that's right for Kupuna. And whether you are doing it on the side as a consultant, or you're doing it because you feel like it's your kuleana for your mo'oku auhau, for your family, for your Kupuna, that no matter what, we'll all get called to the forefront. We'll all be held to a way higher level of responsibility to these things. And our kupuna will hold us to that, and other people will as well. So I think that taking on the kuleana to become lineal or culturally recognized is one that people need to really take seriously before they're ready to take on kuleana.
Mahalo.
You know, I just have a comment. People are using words like kuleana, kaumaha, and Hawaiian words like that that mean a lot to us. But when you have someone who has not been raised here, and Mana, I know you know all of this. Mana returned to Hawaii. He learned this stuff. When you have people from far away that are requesting these kinds of things, I understand what Hale Aloha is saying. You cannot vet them as far as these kinds of things, but you certainly can ask a question like, what do you consider as your kuleana in this? Why do you want to do this? What do you see as your kuleana? Do you realize that there's kamaha involved? So people understand we can use the English words, but in Hawaiian, they have a much deeper meaning. So the cultural side of this, to me, is what's a little bothersome.
Mahalo. Thank you. And again, we're clear in this meeting that according to the requirement, that requirement has been fulfilled. And what we can use in consideration of our vote in support or not of offering recognition is all of the other little details that we've been going back and forth on. So thank you. This was healthy for me to, and I hope this was healthy for everyone else to contemplate, you know, the context of our situation. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Paige, you have a question.
Yeah, may I just ask a quick clarification question? Yeah. So when you want to apply to be a lineal or a cultural descendant, there are obviously measures that you have to take, things that you need to meet, but then it's the responsibility of the burial council to basically decide whether or not what you want to do or how you're going to take on that kuleana is consistent with traditional, you know, treatment of EV. Is that correct? Like, to the best of your ability?
Say that again.
Kalamai. So like, even though if you meet all of these things, whatever it is, like the general parameters, then it gets turned over to the Oahu Island Burial Council, and the council's responsibility is to basically ensure that the way that you're going to treat your kuleana is consistent with our traditional values as much as we can carry them out in 2020. Is that correct?
It's a hope.
Okay, right on. Mahalo.
It's a hope. But
that's not the requirement as defined by requirement. Hale Aloha.
Right. Not the requirement.
If you submit your paperwork, and the very first thing I said was that you're either a cultural descendant or you aren't. I mean, there's, you know, it's like you either are or you aren't. But there are a lot of gray areas that I'm trying to address or that I'm concerned with.
and you addressed those gray areas. You were talking about those gray areas, but basically what the law says is if you meet these physical criteria, then you are a cultural descendant and the burial council shall vote in favor. I'm not saying I agree with that, but that's my interpretation from Halealoha. Is that correct, Halealoha?
You're limited to her information on whether she's connected to burials associated with this property. What she decides to do after that is, yes, beyond the scope of. But Hina is absolutely correct. It is definite hope that the behavior is consistent with the role of a family member providing care to an ancestor. But the question you're being faced with is she a lineal or cultural descendant?
Right.
And with her lineal connections, not her motivations.
Yes. And on that basis, it's clear to me, at least, the context of our discussion, and therefore we can take a vote on it. Although I would just say that when certain elements are in place, then the pleasure of the burial council becomes much easier as we proceed with decision making. Yeah. And I think, Chuck, what you were saying about the burial council shall, I don't believe it's a shall, but as we have demonstrated when Shipdi recommended to us rejection of lineal descendancy and then recommendation for cultural descendancy, we went against that. And we said, nope, we believe that you met the criteria for lineal descendancy and we offered it. And so again, this is entirely at the pleasure of our council. This is what the process allows for. There is flexibility in it. And although the context of who Leilani is in her current status of wherever she is out there in the wide world, that is not a part of what the consideration is for today. With that said, council members, the chair will entertain a motion with regards to the matter of, what's my agenda now? Darn it. One moment. Leilani Coelho's descendancy recognition application to skeletal remains located at 5088 Kia'i Place, Ilio Wailupe, Ahupa'a Waikiki, Moko Kona, Aino o Ahunei TMK, Kahi, Kolu Ono, Ole Lua Kolu, Ole Ole Ono. I believe that according to the statement made by the Shipdi to this council, that this individual is recommended for cultural descendant recognition today. Although she applied for lineal descendant, they are recommending cultural descendant recognition for today. Chair will entertain a motion.
And Chair, just for clarification on the motion, I think what the majority, and correct me if I'm wrong, council members, I'll be making a motion to defer this item to next month to give the cultural descendant more time to establish the Kalua relationship tie to the Wailupe area.
I see. Council members, is there any discussion among this this potential motion?
Because I would vote for that.
Okay, Chuck, you're in accord. Kali?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Mana?
Aye. All right, aye.
Auli'i?
Aye.
Okay, once again, for the record, Kamana'o, please make the motion.
All right, moving to defer this item until next month to afford Leilani Coelho time to establish the Kalua tie to the Wailupe area.
Is there a second?
Second.
I'll second that.
Okay, we'll take Chuck your second, even though Cully was first.
Well, he's from North Shore.
He's from North Shore. Let him stay on the North Shore.
Happy to.
Mahalo. It has been moved in second. All in favor?
Aye.
So carried. Mahalo. Leilani?
Yes.
Mahalo for being present in this meeting today, and mahalo for receiving the words and being a part of the more analytical discussion that we've had today. Hope that there was no offense directed towards you at all. And please know that, yes, who's speaking?
Ali Aloha.
Hi.
Aloha.
I have nothing to say.
Hello. So Leilani, we look forward to further communication and your subsequent visit to our council per today's decision. Would you have anything to say to us before we move on?
Well, it looks like I have some work to do, some people to reach out to, and I will see you next month.
Mahalo, Leilani.
Thank you.
Mahalo.
Thank you very much.
And Hino, you're going to talk story, right?
No.
Hey, I got a question of Kamuela.
Kamuela? What's up?
What is that animal behind you?
Oh, that's my mo'o. It's a dragon.
It looks like a bear, grizzly bear.
That's actually, I think it's a Komodo dragon.
I'm a cool.
Pretty close.
It's been driving me crazy.
I already detected the presence
dragon, of dragon. Yeah.
In her background.
How can you see
dragon after these things?
Oh, I thought those are her ohane.
Yeah, wait. Come
on.
Okay. Mahalo. If any of you require a restroom break, all you have to do is mute your video and mute your sound. And then you just walk with your smart device, take it into the toilet with you so you stay current on the discussion, and walk back like I did earlier. Thank you very much.
Hey,
you never mute.
Yeah, just mute everything.
Mute everything, please.
Mute everything. Okay.
We don't want to hear that kind of stuff.
Did you hear that the U.S. Supreme Court had a toilet flush in the background of their hearing last week?
Yeah.
Well.
How appropriate.
They don't know how to use mute.
Okay. Hello, Moa. Is Elizabeth Ann Kalaopuna Motoyama and Carl Punahele Kazunori Motoyama, are you present in the room today?
Madam Chair, it's Leslie. She's not on today as well.
Mahalo. We shall see this. Please, if we could, Leslie and Regina, if we can place the recognition items upon confirmation that they will join us for the meeting.
Yes, Mahalo. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And okay, so just going to point out for everybody, for the record, again, there is no clear-cut articulation of formatting and just internal process on how we run this meeting. It is much to the discretion of the council leadership, as well as reflective of persona of cumulative council members. So, again, we encourage and look forward to having descendants or potential descendants to come before us, because it is within that that leeway that we have to determine that they're coming forward and that they're going to serve this in addition to identifying who they are to us. So we look forward to hearing from these folks at the next meeting, if that is possible. Elmer Kailikole, item G, Elmer Kailikole Ka'ai, Descendancy Recognition Application to Native Hawaiian Skeletal Remains, located at 5088 Kia'i Place. Ili o Wailupe, ahupa o Waikiki, moko konanei. TMK, aina o Oahu, TMK, kahi, kolu ono ole lua kolu ole ole ono.
Madam Chair, it's Leslie again. Elmer is not on as well. If we could go to H.
We lose the chair. I think your screen is frozen.
That's why it's so quiet, I guess. Then
maybe show him Batcham again.
Yeah, exactly.
It's contemplative. So you can mute the sound, but you should mute the video too. If you can.
Where's Oli'i? Oli'i, I'll hear Oi.
Yeah.
Oh, there she is. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, hold on, hold on. Can you tell everybody just to take a few minutes of break, because I'm experiencing some issues with my computer and my internet.
Can you hear her through now?
Hear me?
We just heard her.
Can you hear me? Oh. Okay. So are we taking a break?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Be back. Thank you.
Okay.